Morning, everybody. How are you? Isn't it a beautiful day out there? Sunshine. Wow. You want to have service outside? No, okay. let's start with page 72, and let's stand, please. 72. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, that our church doors are open today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here today to worship you. We thank you for our great nation that we live in, Lord. We pray for our nation, Lord. We ask for answers to problems, Lord. We know them, Lord, but our leaders are failing to look that way, Lord. I pray that they might seek you, Lord, for what we need in guiding our nation. Thank you for my church, Lord, my church family. Thank you for all that showed up here today, Lord, anticipating just a little time in your word today. Thank you for my pastor and his wife, Lord, the work that they do here, the people that they meet, Lord, and talk to and work with, and especially our church, Lord, that they hold dear. Be with John today, Lord. Guide him, direct him, help him, Lord, as he brings forth your word today. Lord, may it be powerful. May it be something that will touch people's hearts today. Take something from us today that they can use in their daily Christian lives, Lord. And especially if someone needs you, Lord, may that person get right with you before they leave today. Thank you for this time, Lord. Love everybody here today. Just participate in goodness. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see. I will call upon the name. I think it's in an insert, your bulletin. It might be up there. Maybe not. See, what are we going to do here? Is it one side and the other? Is that the way it goes? Pastor's going to take the right.
Imagine that. Let's just sing through it once. And again, we're here to give God glory and praise this morning. So we'll sing through it together, and then we'll do it as a round. Does everyone know what
that's
round
what I'm looking
is?
For.
You need an example of rounds.
Okay.
Here we go.
Blessed be the rock and the God of my salvation.
side, or do you want
to
take this side?
No, I'll be right.
I'm always on this side.
That's okay. You're in the right, buddy.
You sure?
Yeah, wherever you go.
Okay, well, we're going to now sing around with this. And again, this is a good time to let the Lord know you love him today. I see a few sour pusses in here. We're going to work on that. So here's how this is going to work. We'll start on this side. I will call upon the Lord. Then your sideline is going to come
same
in.
Thing.
I will call upon the Lord. Then we'll end up all together as we close it out. So here we go.
Good. Thank you. Don't let anybody tell me they don't know that song. That's good. Well, you clap, you knew. Where are we at here? Announcements. Here we go. Man, there's a lot of stuff to bring up here today. Okay. Reports for the annual business meeting coming up. They're due today. Our evening service tonight at 6. Forgot that one. Our Way of the Masters is our last study tonight, so if you can bear with us, we'll get through that. Items for the agenda are due on the 6th for our annual business meeting. The meeting itself is the 13th. Personal evangelism is the 5th and 19th. We have a membership class here tonight at 5 o'clock. Wilton Bible Studies, the 7th and 21st. Deacon meeting, again, on the 14th. Men's Bible study is the 16th. On the back table is a bulletin that lists all of Fruitland Baptist Church's services. Please feel free to take one. I have been told that someone anonymously gave a couple of car seats. If you're interested or in need of, they're in the back, in the kind of the coat area there where you hang them up there. You'll see them there. And then, if you were nominated for an office, your decision is due the 10th. You'll have till noon that day. There's going to be a nominating committee right after the morning service on the 10th. I was telling people it was today. I was wrong. Okay. Pass off of the week, the test for hypocrisy. Does your heart line up with your hands? Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the day. Lord, we can't even begin to thank you and give praise to you for all that you do and have done for us, Lord. Especially today, Lord, we're thinking of our Savior who gave his life for us, Lord. He's resurrected from the dead. He is alive today. We're going to be celebrating that just a little bit today after our service, Lord. Be with John now as he's about to speak. Be with us now, Lord, as we anticipate giving just a small portion back to you, Lord. Please be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got one more song to do here. We might do maybe just a couple verses. Page 18, please. Page 18. Let's just sing the first and the last verse.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Lord of all, bring forth.
Thank you. See, we have special day. Judy and Kathy's coming up.
Jesus Christ Day. We're glad for everyone that's here. We're glad for anyone that's visiting here for the first time, or if you've visited for 40 years or 50 or 60 years. Isn't this a great thing?
As I always say, this is dress rehearsal for heaven. I'll tell you what, we all have aches and pains and difficulties here, but when we're with the Lord permanently, if you know Him as your Savior, you will be at some point. It's going to be the best thing that ever we have experienced in our humanity. And we have good things, folks. We need not be negative. We just need to be accurate today. Accurate about ourselves before God and see the accuracy that He has in His Word and His plan for us. Folks, if we'll do that and we can see that presented plainly, we're going to be okay. I want to tell you that today. So it's a joyous day to gather. Today is part two of our message. The way I go about things, we'll probably have a part three. But the title of the message is The Ten Commandments, God's Holiness Manifested, Man's Unholiness Exposed. And so we'll delve into that a little further today. And what this all points to, the Ten Commandments, the whole point of it, it points to Jesus, who fulfilled the law in our place, that we might be declared righteous before God the Father. That's a reason to say hallelujah today. If you've been bought by the blood of Christ, praise God, hallelujah. Before we start, though, let's take a little time to steer our hearts upward toward the Lord this morning. We're just going to have a few moments of silent prayer where we can meditate with God. Again, evaluate where you're at in your life and in your walk with Him. And that'll be followed by a short pastoral prayer this morning. Remember, we are all a group of needy people. And we're all in need of the Lord. And we all are in need, as Sharon sang, to take His hand and ask Him to lead us. Yeah, we need that today. Remember, we have a community around us. We have people of our own number that are missing today. Others that are ill critically with physical ailments. But also those that may be spiritually ill today that need the healing from the great physician, Jesus Christ. So I greet you in His name. Have I forgotten anything I needed to announce this morning? If I have, correct that at some point yet. But let's go to prayer, and then we'll look into God's Word. Our Father in heaven, we come humbly before Your throne today. I'm amazed here, Lord, at what I heard very loudly in the silence. I thank You for this venue of prayer that we have, this way of communication that You have afforded unto us, again, through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just was amazed as I heard that time of silence as people were praying. I thank You, Lord, that You hear our prayers. I thank You even for the prayer of the little infant here this morning, Lord. Just so many wonderful things if we can get quiet time with You, Lord. Forgive us for not taking that quiet time. Today, Lord, this is a time of worship as the saints gather to give You praise and glory, but it's also a time of edification where we come to learn and be challenged through the teaching of the Word and through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I pray today would not be in vain for any person that's come through these doors, that it would be a time that steers us towards You, O Lord. I ask that You'd forgive us, Lord. Forgive me for our waywardness, our inattention to You as You deserve. You deserve it all, Lord. You're the God of this world, of this creation. And You're not only the Creator, but You're the Redeemer and the Sustainer and the Giver of eternal life. So, Lord, how can we say anything against You? We can't, because You are totally good. And yet, Lord, we understand because of our ancestors' disobedience to You, we are corrupt. But thankfully, You made a way, Jesus, when You came to that cross, because You loved us, that we could be reunited through Your righteousness imputed to us if we'll by faith believe in You, Lord, and what You did. We can be reunited and reconnected with God the Father. So we recognize that today, Lord. Lord, as you tell us to talk to You, You tell us to pray without ceasing. Lord, today there are many praises, but we also recognize in the human experience there are many things going on, Lord. There are tragedies. There are needs. Lord, we don't know what all goes on in different homes and in the personal lives of people, but You do. And You know today, Lord, who needs You to come alongside them this day with a helping hand. Thank You, Jesus, that as Sharon sang, Your hand is always there. We can take it, and You'll lead us. You're the great shepherd. You're the good shepherd. Nothing bad ever can be said about You, O Lord, with any truth and validity. So we recognize that today. We recognize people in our own number who are hurting. We don't know what could have taken place today, Lord. People may be ill, but they also may have had a fight. There could be disagreement. There could be a marriage in trouble today, Lord. There could be all kinds of things that the human experience faces. But we know today that You are the great physician, and You will heal us of our ills. Now, Lord, we pray for our community around us. We pray that Fruitland Baptist Church would continue to stand on Your word, and that it would faithfully proclaim it, Lord, to all who will hear. And Lord, now I have the responsibility and the privilege to bring forth your word. Lord, it's more than I can do. And so you know, Lord, I stand here weak and unworthy and not able to do it, Lord. So the only way it'll happen is if you help me. And so I need the power of your Spirit and your grace again, Lord, to bring forth this word. Now, Lord, I pray it will change us today. It will transform us. It will cause us, Lord, to look towards you and to make again adjustments, Lord, to walk in a closer fellowship with you this day. Thank you, Jesus, as we study the law today, that you fulfilled that law in our place. We could never have done it. But, Lord, when we again accept by faith what you have done for us and believe on you, put our trust in you, Lord, to deliver us, you say you will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Thank you, Lord, that you made it simple. You made it sincere. And, Lord, what a sweet thing you've done for all of us that are unworthy. Lord, again, bless us today as we gather, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I like to think about small words just to start us up again. I won't go back through everything. If you need to listen, listen on the internet, on the website. But I like to think about the power of small things. And today, as we begin our second part of investigating the Ten Commandments, and again, just so we do remember this, out of the Ten Commandments, there are 613 commandments that God has given to humanity. And one of the things that we learned and have known is that we can't keep them. No matter how hard you try, we're going to struggle. You can never work your way into God's favor. But Jesus did the work in our place. Don't you like that? He gave us a pass that we might be delivered. We owe it all to Jesus. We owe thanksgiving to his Father, the God of the Bible, for what he did for us because he loves us. And that's a wonderful thing. We have a hard time knowing how to genuinely love people, but God is the model for genuine love, unconditional love. Now, I mentioned two small words today. Some of you know I've focused on this before. I had someone mention this to me yesterday. I focused in the Bible and said, I'm so thankful for buts in the Bible. That's B-U-T. I've said it's a conjunction because it means that God in certain areas has given us a thought, but he gives us another thought that comes behind it. And that's where that's good for us. Today, I want to dwell just for a moment as we begin today on another little word. And as I said, I believe little words hold great power. It's the word if. Yes, it is a preposition, Lonnie. But what it is, if always precedes a conditional clause. Because if is conditional. Why? Because you always have the option of going with that suggestion or against it. It's dependent solely on who? On us. Because when God gives a statement, which we're going to look at here briefly today, he says, this is what I'm going to do. And we know this, the God of the Bible is rock solid. He cannot tell a lie. Because his very makeup is truth. It's up to us and how we respond. Let me just say this as we go to look at this scripture. Be careful how you respond to an if. And realize it's conditional based upon you. So I'd like us to open our scriptures today to the book of Exodus. Just to begin this morning, we will be in Exodus most of the morning. But Exodus 19, verses 3 through 6. And this is what I'd like us to look at here. When Moses was called by God, God delivered his people out of Egypt, out of bondage. 400 and a few more years in that they were held in slavery. The Bible gives the account how they got into Egypt. I can't go into that today or we'll not even get started, but you can look at it in the scriptures. By the way, what you have before you in the scriptures is powerful. It's dynamic. It's the most dynamic history book that's ever been given to man. I believe it is God's revealed work. And what I mean by history, it's his story. It's the details of how God has operated with humanity since we were created. It will tell you, like a mirror, who you are today. And it will tell you who God is and how you can have a personal relationship with him. Here's what God said to Moses to deliver to the Israelites, again, that had just come out of the bondage of Egypt, had a dynamic crossing of the Red Sea, and before they got 2 or 3 days into the desert on the way to the Promised Land, they were ready to turn back, and they began to complain. By the way, I encourage you, and stimulate us to think about this. Is there one thing you can be thankful for today? I'll tell you what, we ought to be able to be thankful for multiple things this day. The problem is we don't think that way. We always think of what we don't possess rather than what we do possess. Huh? How about that? Here it is, 3 through 6, Exodus 19. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. By the way, Moses was God's spokesperson. Moses had a hard time with public speaking. Moses gave all the excuses, and some of them were legitimate, to God and said, I can't do this, God. I can't be a public speaker. I can't go talk to people. But God said what? Go anyway, and I'll do what? I'll help you, and I'm going to send your brother Aaron to help you with your deficiencies. Let me assure us all today of this, folks. We need to leave here encouraged. God will work in spite of your deficiencies, and he'll turn those things into sufficiencies. Don't ever fear what God sends you to do, but do it, and he'll see you through it. I think I could patent that for a tagline. Do it, and he'll see you through it. You know, Kim has a little tagline like that. She always said, this is meals and other things, or children, or me, you get what you get, and you don't have a fit. Would you believe I could still have a temper tantrum? There's days I'd like to throw one. No, seriously, I don't. I don't have the energy anymore for that. Moses went up to hear what God had to say to deliver it. He was the spokesman. And verse 4 records this, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. By the way, if you'd just been brought through the Red Sea and have walls of water on each side of you and you crossed on dry land and the army that is pursuing you is stopped dead in the water and buried in the sea as they try again to chase you, what would your attitude be toward God? We'd be singing the doxology. Praise God. But isn't it typical with humanity? We don't get very far with our praises before it turns to what? Negativity. And there's an old saying, it's scriptural, but this is not found in scriptural. We tend to bite the hand that feeds us. Think about that a little bit, folks. Because I'll tell you what, every good thing comes from the hand of God. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. By the way, God wanted his people to go into the promised land. He wanted them to get there just in whatever time it took. But they chose to do what? To mess around for 40 years, wandering in the wilderness. My friend, if you're wandering today in the wilderness, today's the day to get delivered into the promised land of God. That's where he wants you. But he'll call you in your time if that's to be the case. But the main thing is to do what? Do what he says. Here we go. Now therefore, and here's our conditional clause. If you... He's talking to the nation of Israel here. He says, if ye will what? Obey my voice indeed, or in particular. By the way, God is very explicit about what he wants and when he wants it. He wants people to respond to him in the time that he sets. By the way, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. If you need Jesus today, now is the time. Okay? That's what the book says. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. By the way, what is God's covenant? He says, I will do this if you do this. And that's why he gave the law. He was, again, he had another purpose for the law, but what he was really showing was his holiness. And what people were going to find out is, hey, I am a sinner. I cannot keep this. How am I going to be delivered or saved or rescued from my sin, which violates me from ever being in the presence of a holy God? Well, as I've said earlier, salvation's been the same all the way through. It's when by faith we believe God, okay, and trust God. That's very important. Nothing we can do. You can't keep the law. But the important thing is the law must be kept, and so Jesus kept it in our place, and that's the whole point of the law. Here it is. If you will keep my covenant, then you shall be a what? A unique treasure. God really loves us. He loved the Israelites. He says, I'm going to put you up as a peculiar treasure. By the way, husbands, the Bible says we should love our wives like a precious vessel. Miss Kim, why'd you raise your eyes at me? God loves us that way, like something that's incomprehensive in its value. Anyway, you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Let me just say this, God loves everyone today, but he specifically loves his family. Yep, he loves those that have been brought into his family. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Holy means set aside, okay? Set apart. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Well, we know the history about all this. The if didn't turn out the way God wanted it to turn out for these people, right? And we still experience that today. But what came after this is that God spoke to Moses. And you can read about all the way this happened, but eventually the law came to be given on tablets of what God expects and how he manifests his holiness and how we come to understand we are not able to do it because we are unholy and therefore we need Jesus. All right. So that's how we get started today on this. Now we're going to go back as soon as I find where I put everything here. Oh my, I'm looking for page 2. It's here somewhere. There it is. And we're going to review a little further into the Ten Commandments. Now remember what the first four are about. The vertical relationship to God. Okay, how we're to approach God. We're going to go on to the second one of those today and go as far as we can. But the last six of the Ten Commandments are the horizontal ones. And that's how we treat others. Yep. So that's how this is accomplished. And of course, we know that Jesus superseded that. And when he was asked by the Pharisees and the lawyers and the people that tried to trip him up as he was here ministering on earth, he said, the whole law can be fulfilled in two commandments. Love God. Love your neighbor. And if we can keep those, we'll fulfill the rest of it automatically. Everything flows through that. So today, we're going to go on to the second commandment this morning. The first commandment was Exodus 20, I am the Lord thy God, which is verse 2, brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we covered that last week. We have every reason to love God and put him first. He is the one that took us out of bondage in the case of the Israelites and us today, and destruction. And it all sounds good, but as we know, when Moses was up receiving the written law and the testaments and the tables of stone, the Israelites were all ready to do what? to find a replacement God. And that was the golden calf. And that's found in Exodus chapter 32. You can look at that when you get a moment. So that brings us today to the second commandment, which is found in verse 3 and 4. Actually through 6. And the commandment is as follows. Thou shalt have no other gods. Notice here in your scriptures that word God is in a little g. There is only one capital G God. And that is the God of the Bible. Because He is truly God. All other gods that we may possess, and I mentioned to someone this week in a discussion, the Apostle Paul taught us that all humans are religious. We tend to have gods. They may not be the God of the Bible, but they're little g gods. They're the things that we crave. They're the things that we worship. It could be money. It could be influence. It could be power. It could be all the things that affect humanity that cause us to build ourselves up. You see, they can become the central focus of our life. That's what a God is. But the God of the Bible is the God that we are called on to, again, to have no other gods before. Okay, He is number one. He has every reason to be number one because He is number one. But I ask you today, is He number one in your life today? Or what, again, is a distraction for your heartfelt worship and adoration of the God of the Bible? But what Israel did in that case, like I mentioned in Exodus 32, you can look, they said this, we'll worship our own gods in our own way. We'll create something to take place of the true God of the Bible. By the way, you cannot give me an image of God. God is a spirit. We talked in Sunday school class this morning. You can't even tell me what Jesus looked like. We know the Bible gives us some hints. He was not comely, is what it said. He was an average-looking Jew. He probably had brown eyes. But these pictures and things that we see of Jesus, that's not Jesus. We don't know. But by faith, we accept that He was here as a man and fully God, fully human and fully divine. But anyway, as often happens, people create their own gods. And this is a thing that we need to understand as we look into this package this morning a little bit here of why we need Jesus. Because we're going to struggle with these kind of things. We're not going to be able to keep the law. And if you think and really diagnose your life today, you'll realize we do have a lot of little g gods. And sometimes they intercede over the God of the Bible. But we ought to get rid of those gods and use those things as merely tools to serve the one and only God of the Bible. But we know ourselves today, it's very provable, we cannot keep that law. Here's what the rest of that commandment says. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not what? Make unto thee any graven image. And that's the next commandment that comes in that. Or any likeness thereof that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a... What's it mean to be jealous? It means to be protectively dynamic for those that are loved. You don't want anything to come between that. I am jealous for my wife. God gave her to me, and that's how I want that to stay, as long as we both shall live. Yeah. I know that I'm not the best that I could be, but that's who God put us together, and I'd be very jealous if someone else has my wife. How do you think God feels when we don't put Him first? When He's put us first. And these are the things, again, as we read the law, we come to, when we really look at ourselves accurately, we say, you know, that's right. I am not giving God His due. I have other things in my life. By the way, people have to have an image. You know, even a picture, a portrayal of Jesus, which we know, none of us know, that can become what? I've known people that pray to the picture of Jesus. But folks, it's not the picture. It's the real God. It's the essence of God. And God the Father is a spirit. Jesus was manifested as God in the flesh, as a man, yet without sin. So he says, be careful about that. And we saw that example there in Exodus 32. What did they create? A golden calf as their image of worship. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You know what God says here is that what we tend to do can have generational effects, whether we do it for good or against Him, okay, for evil. We ought to take that into account today, even as we live in the age of grace, that what we do or don't do, the if thing again here, has dynamic impacts. I believe we live in a day today that has been several generations into people who have given up on the God of the Bible being number one in their life. Let me tell you, our children and grandchildren, they see us for what we are. Pastor's thought for the week, what's that word hypocrite mean? Shirley, what's it mean? It means an actor. You faker, you. Let's not even start there today, Lonnie. But let's start here. How many of us are real today? Hypocrites. The law, when it exposes our wicked hearts, shows us that we're all, to an extent, actors and actresses. God wants our true heart. God's not an actor. He lays it down just like it is. He is who He is. But that's humanity, folks. And that's our tendency. But he says in verse 6, He still shows mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now let's go over this again from last week quickly. And I know I'm slow. And someday you'll get someone in here that'll be crackerjack. They'll deliver a perfect message in 20 minutes. And you'll be out eating lunch by the time we are right now. And now I lost my thought on this. What was I going to say here? Well, maybe it'll come back. That's what happens when you get old, so don't get old. But be careful, because we tend to worship our own gods that we make, and God is jealous. Okay? It'll come back to me maybe later. The third commandment that's given here is found in Exodus 27. Exodus 27. And we're going to stop with this today before we go to communion. I know I'm slow, but we'll get to it all eventually. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Here's what God says about himself. The Bible says that God's name is a name that is above all names. We never use God's name recklessly. But we do. I want to tell you something else about God's name. If you know the truth about John Brown, he does not have a good name. Neither do you. We should strive for a good name, but you know what? We all have a record. We have problems. We've had problems. I guarantee, if you have been without problems here today, please let me know after the service. If you dig deep enough, we don't have a good name because we're not good. But God has a good name. And it's a name to never be used recklessly or casually, because it devalues God. Now let's think about humanity and our response to the law. And Israel in particular here. You read what we read there in Exodus 19. Israel, and it has to do with why I had that thought for the week this week. Israel said, oh yeah, God, we're on page with you today. When Moses asked them the questions, remember the if? But what Israel did was they made lip service to God, They said the words, but what wasn't there? They didn't mean it. And folks, that's what God's getting at here. They're vain words, because when you tell lies, they're useless words regarding God. And the Bible says, we'll give an account for every idle word that we use. An idle word means a word that's a wasted word. And I stand before you guilty today of using idle words and doing things that do not bring glory to God as they should. Are you with me on that? Folks, it involves a lot of things, and this will expose us again here, the point of our message. God's holiness manifested, man's unholiness exposed. We're exposed today to this. But folks, today and always times, all times, there are flippant, blasphemous use of God's name and personality. Now, when's the last time you heard on the street someone say, Buddha, damn you? When's the last time you heard on the street, Allah, damn you? When's the last time you heard on the street, Buddha, Baal? You insert the name. I haven't heard it. Why do people not use those names of their little g gods in that way? But what do I hear today in our modern day vernacular? And it's always been that way. I won't say that word because that's taking God's name in vain. How dare we bring condemnation on the God of the Bible? But you know, in our modern day vernacular, between that and the F word, what do you hear all over the place? I go in to teach school and I hear junior high students using the F word. What has this exposed in the hearts of man? The only one that we want to condemn is the God of the Bible. And God says, I have a good name. How dare you transgress against me in the things you say? Now, folks, we've all struggled in these areas. Aren't you thankful today Jesus forgives us? I even told students this week some of the things that went on. I said, I forgive you. Jesus forgives us, but he wants us to understand this. We can't keep these laws. I remember what I was going to say earlier. By the way, the law, not the ceremonial law, but the civil law and the moral laws are still in force. The thing about them is when we've got our heads rearranged straight and be thinking straight about God, we will always profit by obeying those laws. And I'm telling us, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't take that wonderful name of God in vain. Because I tell you what, folks, the God of the Bible is not worthy of trashing. But the people of Israel trashed him. Page 3. We'll stop on that for that. We're going to go to communion. Next week, we'll come back and talk about remembering the Sabbath day. But folks, this is a perfect lead-in to our communion service. What's communion about? Jesus said, by the way, Jesus gave a direct command to his disciples and us. He said, this do. Did he ask for arguments? That's what's known in the Greek as a direct command. He says, do this in remembrance of me. You see, what we're going to celebrate here that we celebrate just once a month here at Fruitland, you can do it any day, any time. Jesus wants us to what? Remember him and what he's done. How can we forget him? Well, we can if we let the little g gods and all the rest of it that we'll learn about intercede. But friend, if you've been bought by the blood of Christ, we're never going to forget what he did on Calvary's cross. Unless we, what, purposely reject thinking about Jesus. So today, what we're really doing here is we're having a celebration. We're not celebrating Jesus' birthday. Today we're not necessarily celebrating his resurrection, although I think every day that we wake is a day to celebrate his resurrection. But what we're doing today is we're celebrating his work on Calvary's cross, where he bore the sins of humanity in his body as his Father turned his back on him, because God could not look on sin. Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay? And then his blood was spilled as well on Calvary's cross. Literally, but also symbolically, because his pure blood, his sinless blood, is what atones for our sin. It covers our sin. So when God the Father looks at us, and by the way, we know already from our study in the law, we're all what? Say it to me. Thanks, Woodrow. I'm guilty. And the Bible says every one of us is guilty. But God gave us the pass through Jesus' blood. Yes, right. And when God now looks at John, he says, you know what? He gets the pass because my son's blood covered his filth. John received it. By the way, this today is not something that'll save you. It's something, again, that shows the Lord that you've been saved. This is for people that know him as Savior, as a memorial. 1 Corinthians 11, which we'll go to for just a minute as I go through this text. As I always say, it's very important. The Apostle Paul says, again, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, don't take this recklessly or unworthily. Because what we're celebrating here is the body and blood of Christ. These are symbols, symbolic of that very thing. So as I always say when we do this, when we go to communion, don't get in a hurry to receive these elements today. Get in a hurry to talk to the Savior first. If you don't know Jesus, pass these by, but know him today. Receive him today. And friends, if we have sin in our lives, if we've transgressed against the law, and again, not set those straight with who we transgressed against. And ask Jesus for a wash-up with washcloth. See? Our sins are covered eternally when we receive Christ as Savior. But we still need verses like 1 John 1:9. We need the washcloth applied like when you're a little kid to wash the stuff off your face. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we walk out of here with a clean face today. That's what Jesus wants today. He wants that intimate fellowship with him. So here at Fruitland, we practice what's known as close communion. Everyone is able to participate, but it's up to you to judge ourselves. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, that we would not be judged for wrongfully treading on what Jesus has done. He is a jealous God. And he loves us all dearly today. So deacons, I'm going to ask you to come forward at this time. We'll finish this message next week, Lord willing, or we might not finish it next week, Lord willing. We'll get as far as we get, and we won't have a... You got it. What a privilege this is to gather together to do this. Jesus had this kind of fellowship with his disciples. We're going to have this kind of fellowship in eternity, but we can have it here today. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're going to get going right away here today. I'm going to ask Denny, Brother Denny, if he would ask God again and thank the Lord and ask his blessing today for those that have received, again, the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, symbolized here today in a little unleavened cracker, bread that has no leaven in it. Leaven is a symbol of yeast in the Scriptures. Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. He bore the sins of the world in his body. So today we remember that very thing. Brother Denny, would you share?
As usual, I got a question for you. Verse out of Isaiah 53. It goes,
he was hated and rejected by people. He had made much pain and suffering. People would not even look at him. He was hated, and we didn't even notice him. So, Father, again, we thank you again for another day, Lord. What a privilege it is to even be alive today, Lord. Again, as we come to you with our hearts, Lord, searching for your love and your goodness, and you showed that love, Lord, by giving your Son, allowing him to sacrifice for us, Lord, to take our place, Lord. Again, remember each other, Lord, help us to pray for one another. And we need each other, Lord, whether we realize it or not, Lord. And so, Lord, we say we love you, Lord, but then you say, prove it, Lord. And so, may our hearts be changed, Lord. Make us more like you today, Lord, and every day that we're here upon this earth, Lord. Again, Lord, bless our time together and help us to keep rejoicing.
Supped with his disciples that night before he was betrayed, he said the following to them after he had given thanks and broken the bread, symbolizing that his body would be broken for the sins of the world. You can't believe what was done to Jesus' body for our sin. He was literally made meat for us. That's how graphic it was. But he told the disciples, take, eat, this is my body. It's a symbol of his body, obviously, the bread, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup, which was going to symbolize his blood. It too is recorded in scriptures that it was symbolized as fruit of the vine. Today we have a juice that's a fruit of the vine to properly symbolize that, because if this were again tainted by yeast or fermentation, it would be tainted by sin. And so we remember that Jesus' blood was sinless again as we
So at this time, I'm going to pass cup to Lonnie. Lonnie, what a privilege this is to be here to thank Jesus today for the shed blood. And again, it makes atonement for our sins. It's covered. And God the Father sees Jesus' blood when he sees our sinful blood. Lonnie?
Father, thank you that we can come here again today and remember what you did for us, Father, through your Son. He became sin for us. He made the sacrifice for us. Lord, thank you that my Savior was willing to do so, to take my place in all of us, Lord. This is just a small reminder, Lord, this cup which represents your blood that was shed for us. All the brutality of what you went through, Lord, that you did. We'll see you one day again, Lord. We'll see the scars in your body. But we'll see the love in your face for us. And we thank you for that. Thank you that we can do this today, remembering again what you've done for us. It's all about the Father's love for us. Thank you this time in Jesus' name.
Symbols don't save us. We just simply remember Jesus in them. But Jesus saves us. And I want you to know today, if you have a question about salvation or your relationship to the Lord Jesus, mention a word to me as you depart, or to another person here that has a smile on their face. It contains the love of God. Jesus wants you to be in his family today. He wants you to be born again. And again, have his blood applied to our needy accounts before him. I love you. He loves us more. Anyway, here's what Jesus said. It's recorded after the same manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. We've been learning about the Ten Commandments. This is the new commandment that supersedes all of it. Jesus says, receive my salvation in my body and blood. And what I have done for you, that's the commandment for today. It covers it all. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I think Jesus and the disciples had a good time. And by the way, fun is allowed here in the fellowship of God. I hope you'll encourage one another today as we depart, but this time, let's gather in the center aisle and join hands and parade the best we can get around here this morning. We're going to sing Blessed Be the Tithe and Vine, and then we'll be dismissed with your own. now and forevermore.